So the news is out that there's a Gremlins 3 in the works. What is it?
Doesn't matter. It's Gremlins. We're making a new one.
We joked that Gremlins 3 should take place in the White House.
Yeah, won't happen now. It's a little too close to reality.
Yes, where Clamp, the villainous real estate mogul, vaguely disguised as a Donald Trump character, was in charge of that building, and he was oblivious and stupid and all that stuff, and that now he has ascended to the presidency.
Yes.
Billy Peltzer is his official portrait painter at the White House, and Gremlins run amok. We have talked about this funny idea before.
Yeah.
And Gremlins are running all over Washington, D.C. So you start with small town, you move up to a skyscraper, and now basically the country, because you're in the government. And Gremlins are in the House of Representatives passing bills and... in the Senate voting yay, nay, yay, nay. But they won't do that.
No.
So, Jay, how would you make a Gremlins film?
What I always say is that the spirit of those, there's an anarchic spirit to those Gremlins movies.
Antarctic?
They take place in the Antarctic. Anarchic. Mm. There's a spirit to those movies of anarchy, very Looney Tunes-esque.
Right.
So the only thing that made sense to me is if you do a Gremlins 3 that's a studio, Warner Brothers, I guess it would have to be, mm-hmm. is making a new Gremlins movie. In the movie, they're making a soft reboot, and real Gremlins show up and terrorize the set.
Ah.
The movie they're making in the movie is just the first Gremlins, but you could have Zach Galligan come back. He's playing Billy Peltzer as a dad.
Yes.
All the generic, like, hallmarks of these modern soft reboots.
The sad tropes.
The tropes, yes, yes. So they're making that movie, but then real Gremlins show up on the set and destroy the entire production. So then you get have your cake and eat it, too, because you're bringing back Zach Galligan. Maybe they can pull Phoebe Cates out of retirement, give her a cameo.
I mean, so this is meta as well as fourth wall breaking.
Yes.
Because you're asking, this is Wes Craven's new nightmare.
Sure.
Where in a world where Zach Galligan is an actor portraying an older, fatherly Billy Peltzer to a young son?
Finn Wolfhard.
Finn Wolfhard is his son. And Finn Wolfhard has some...
Then you can capture the younger demographic that doesn't understand what the f*** is happening in this movie.
We have a cast of diverse students at Finn Wolfhard's high school who are they're laughing at the fact that, wait, Finn Wolfhard is an actor?
Yeah.
No, I know who he is, but...
He's playing himself.
He's playing himself, playing Billy Peltzer's son in the movie within the movie.
Okay. Finn Wolfhard, I'm saying, like, in the movie, yeah, he's an actor he's also going to school, and his friends are making fun of him for being in the Gremlins reboot. Mm-hmm. But in this universe, Gizmo is real.
Yes, that he's owned by Joe Dante.
Okay,
who's not involved with this new production, and that's why he unleashes Gremlins on the set to sabotage it.
Okay,
is the bit then like the Gremlins they use in the original movies were actual real Gremlins provided by Joe Dante, and they lied about them being puppets?
We're not going to go that far because that would have been too far in like reality. They would have caused real damage, real destruction. The Gremlins in Gremlins 1 and Gremlins 2 were fake.
But they're based on a real...
They're based on the real thing that Joe Dante has in his basement. And
so maybe just Gizmo was real.
You know, in New Nightmare, when Heather Langenkamp goes and talks with Wes Craven at his house, and he has that creepy picture of...
his headshot 15 years
frame.
Earlier.
Yeah, and she goes to his house to talk to him about Nightmare on Elm Street and all that stuff. You have that same scene where Zach Galligan goes to Joe Dante's house to kind of talk to him about they're making Gremlins 3 reboot. It's just called Gremlins.
Of course.
And he's like, of course, it's just called Gremlins. It's those f***ers. I don't know how Joe Dante talks, but that's how he's going to talk for me.
Sure.
And he's like, listen, Zach, I'll give you some pointers on this. It's a bunch of bullshit. These remakes, blah, blah, blah. And then Zach Galligan is like, okay, Joe, let me get you some coffee. Okay, go upstairs. And then Billy Peltzer, I'm sorry, Zach Galligan hears. And in Joe Dante's like basement prop archive, he sees the little box and he opens it up. Guess what's inside? Gizmo.
Gizmo's real.
And he's just like, wow, you know, Joe, this puppet, it's amazing, you know. It's not a puppet, Zach. Then we get our story. That's our story.
Maybe for some reason the studio isn't sure if they want to bring Zach Galligan back. So he's like on the fence, like they're thinking about using him. They're not sure if it's worth the money, but then he steals the real Gizmo.
They want
to bring to the set to say, look what I can offer to this production.
Okay. Yes.
And that's how he gets the part in the movie.
They cast Jeremy Strong instead. And he wants to method act the whole movie. Mm. And they start shooting and it's kind of a disaster. And then Zach Galligan shows up to set with the real Gizmo in the box to kind of show, you know, he steals it from Joe Dante.
Yeah. Because then you can kind of do what they did in the first movie, but there's a meta aspect to it, and there's stakes for Zach Galligan as himself.
We need some jokes about modern filmmaking. We need to see them actually making this lame Gremlins soft reboot.
Oh, of course.
We need to see like how they just don't do anything creatively. Like the puppets, it's all just a green screen on a stick. We need a scene where they're just filming like a normal scene in like a kitchen. But instead of like filming in like a kitchen or a kitchen set, it's just people in like black unitards with white dots. And when they do it, the computer.
They're like the reference for the microwave.
Yeah. I was like, the reference for the microwave. Like, it's all everything, even the normal stuff, is all CGI'd in later.
They just have, they have like.
They CGI on like normal clothes on somebody. But when they film it, they're wearing like a green suit.
Well, you have like in the first act, you have like Zach going to set. He's allowed on set as a consultant. You know, he doesn't have the role yet. And yet Jeremy Strong is playing Billy Peltzer. Well, no, I'm picturing like the scene with the mom in the kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm.
The famous scene where the gremlins are throwing her cookies at her and she has a fight, throws one in the blender, the microwave scene, all that magic. And the kitchen, you have like a coffee pot and a counter and everything's green.
Mm-hmm.
And the actress who's playing the mom walks in and she's wearing like a green leotard with the dots on it. And you know,
we're not sure what we want the kitchen to look like, so we'll figure it out in post.
Right. Yeah. And say, and he's like, Zach Galligan's like, why are you wearing that, you know, where's your costumes? Well, they didn't know if I should wear like a dress with an apron or if I should be more of a modern woman and have like a pantsuit on. Like I just came home from work to cook these cookies. If they thought the apron was too old fashioned. And so he's like, so they're going to change the outfit later in post. And so it's this completely like foreign environment where it's like all these like new technological things. And the gremlin is like a green stick with like a styrofoam ball on the top. And Zach Galligan just does not know what's going on.
Sure.
And, you know, maybe a cameo by Steven Spielberg.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because he was a producer on the original Gremlins and Gremlins 2.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't direct, but he produced. And he'll show up and he'll go, yeah, this is great. This is great. And they'll just immediately leave.
That just made me think who would have more motivation to sabotage the set than Zach Galligan would be like Corey Feldman.
Oh. Corey Feldman has to be in the film. And he wants to somehow work in his music. Him and his angels.
Yes.
Like he wants a scene where the gremlins, the quote unquote gremlins, which are CGI monsters, show up at his concert where he's rapping and doing his like terrible music. And that's in his contract. And I think maybe that's the breaking point for Zach Galligan. Because he's just like, what?
This doesn't capture the spirit of the original film.
Yeah. Zach Galligan's like, hey, you know, Corey, how's it been? Long time, you know? And then he's like, I'm doing music now, man. What? And then Zach Galligan goes on YouTube and like looks up his concerts.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Maybe our Spielberg cameo. Spielberg doesn't show up to set. He's just like barely associated with the project. He just like signs some paperwork or something. Zach Galligan goes to Steven Spielberg in his house and just says, "Steven, look what they're doing. It's a disaster, you know?" And Steven's just, he's the like the mentor. He's the kindly, wise old man who still has the heart, and he sees this like atrocity that's being done to Gremlins, even though it wasn't his own film. He still loves it. And then Zach tells him that he has the real Gizmo. Zach has stolen it from Joe Dante, and Steven Spielberg is the one who convinces Zach to unleash Gremlin Hell on the production. Because Zach doesn't do it on his own accord.
Right.
He
has to be a redeemable character.
Yeah, and he needs the guidance of someone wiser.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Dante just doesn't care.
Sure.
You have a scene where he's like, oh, he discovers his gizmo box is missing, and he goes, meh. He just lights up a cigarette.
Who's directing this movie?
The movie within the movie?
The movie within the movie.
I would say nobody notable.
What is a parody of a studio hack like?
Just generic guy.
Basically, I'm looking for a villain.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you just have him list his credits, and his credits are like atrocious, yeah. You know, stupid remakes and stuff like that. Oh, you're the director? You know, like he's like a nepo baby. Like,
oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. My dad was a director. He's gotten all these studio jobs. He's remade the Pokemon movie. Oh, he did a reboot of the Angry Birds movie.
Oh, there
that's
you go.
How like pathetic he is. He did the Smurfs sequel, Smurfs 4, Smurfs in Space. Just trash. And he doesn't care. And he admits that he's never seen a Gremlins movie.
Yeah.
And that's really like, that really gets Zach Galligan really mad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who your hack director is. Every aspect of this production is cynical. It's trash. It's ill-conceived and just a cash-in. And Zach Galligan and Steven Spielberg both love Gremlins.
Because you need the guy who, when Zach Galligan, he keeps like suggesting creative ideas and just gets shot down. But this guy, he's a prick.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be a producer more than the
yes man
director.
We definitely need a producer.
Okay. Yeah. And same route with the producer. Generic suit guy from Warner
Brothers.
But he's
more of a prick than the director.
Right.
He's in the hierarchy of villains in the film.
Yeah, the director's just sort of like lazy and stupid. The producer is very like...
The true villain.
Look, all that matters is that we get to a point where the gremlins are unleashed on the set. The filmmakers don't know about it yet. So you have the director say, action! And you have these sticks that are meant to be the gremlins. But it turns out those sticks are being puppeteered by the real gremlins.
What do the reboot gremlins look like?
Well, they're just sticks. We never see them because the filmmakers haven't decided on a final representation.
We do see them. We at one point, Zach Galligan goes through like the previs department.
Oh,
and
sure.
Then you have that sort of humor where you have just like a a Brazil style sea of
lowly effects workers
in like half offices.
Yeah,
and they're all just like, this is the concept for Gremlin 3894618. But the gremlins they're of course a little bigger. They have giant horns, they have bigger teeth. They're just more like, the gremlins were just, they were scary. They had teeth and big ears and they're kind of funny looking, but now they're like, you know, souped up and uglier and
maybe
more.
Some of them are like radical redesigns. They even have the ears, just no eyes, just creepy.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Think of the worst possible creative decisions you could make with the gremlins. and Zach's like, well, shouldn't they all kind of look similar? You know, they're all just like, they're reproduced asexually and they just all fly out of pods. They all look the same, basically.
This is what I was told to draw.
Yeah. This is what my supervisor told me to draw. He said he came by and looked at my work. I spent 17 hours on it, and he said, more horns. like legit pixel fucking.
Yeah.
And you film, it's all smoky and dimly lit. and depressing.
Yeah.
A farm, factory farm of computers, mm-hmm. just pumping out previs.
So then you have a bit later, like maybe it makes the news or something, that there's some sort of threat attacking the set. Maybe they don't know it's actually gremlins yet. But this, yeah, this department, they see that on the news and they all just start celebrating.
The gremlins in our new reboot, they're not actually monsters. They're self-replicating AI robots.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. We're not doing like ancient Chinese mysticism now.
Right.
No, yeah, no. Gotta... They're like self-replicating Alexas.
Yes, because you have that scene where the producer is saying that it's ancient Chinese mysticism is offensive.
That's not going to play.
It's not culturally appropriate. Yeah. And it wouldn't play in China.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah, you got to make sure the movie plays in China. So we're eliminating that entire aspect.
Yes.
Now it's technology.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All these scenes just write themselves.
I know. but that important, all important scene that will be like the, you know, what sells you in the trailer is the scene of the chaos scene in the movie within the movie, where the people are running and then you have effects guys in green suits holding up sticks with like styrofoam green balls on the top going like this, like moving them around and
yeah.
More gremlins, more sticks. And then the camera pans, you know, and then from behind something, a real gremlin pops up. Classic gremlin. And you just, and then the director, who's oblivious, is like, oh, we're using puppets? And then it leaps off of whatever it's behind and just grabs the director by the face. Starts shaking him around. The camera falls over.
Well, for comedic value, though, first it's the gremlin is holding the stick. So you see the stick come into frame and then you pan down.
Genius.
Yeah.
Genius. Yeah. Oh, real puppets?
Was this approved by Warner Brothers?
Yeah, you got to do that thing. You got to do that thing where the gremlin imitates what the people are saying, just worse and inaudible. Like, you know, I don't know. What would a director yell at someone holding a stick? Higher, higher. Frame left. You know, shit like that. Like direction stuff. Stick 13, up higher. Frame right. Stick 14, lower.
And that stick isn't following his orders because it's actually a gremlin.
Reference stick 18, lower in the frame, please.
Lower in the frame, please. Reference stick 18, lower in the frame, please.
I'm sorry, who is that? Who is that?
And then the gremlin just goes, cut.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Now, there's a gremlin in the rafters that says cut, and he cuts like one of the lights.
Yeah.
And then falls on the director's head.
No, here's what happens. Here's what happens. The director gets up and he's mad and he walks up to the gremlin and the camera kind of follows the director like over the shoulder, you know? And he's like, what are you doing? What is this puppet doing here? This is outrageous. And then the director just slowly turns around. And the camera turns with them, and the entire crew and cameramen have all been replaced by gremlins. And they have gremlin holding the boom mic, and gremlins sitting there looking at the script, looking up and down.
Action!
Speed cards!
Camera speed! Action!
Fast. Yeah, the two cards have just been replaced with, like, growls.
Yes!
Yeah.
Grr. Yes.
And then the local Los Angeles news runs a story. We just cut right to that. Warner Brothers has locked down stage 3 of their facility. We're not sure why. We'll get back to you on this. Zach Galligan's running around. We've got to close all the doors. We can't let them escape. Gremlins aren't real. They're fiction. So then what happens?
Then Gremlins happens.
The gremlins start making movies. They're in the whole studio.
Yeah, I was
it's not,
say
it's
that
not
too.
Just the gremlin movies. Now we get to see what the gremlins do to other movies.
Oh, okay. Like they make their way onto other sets?
We saw that pre-viz department, like the staff with gremlins now. And they're just making the CGI for the movies. So they're putting themselves in other movies.
Well, it'd have to be all Warner Brothers movies, of
course.
So you could have them showing up in like a new Batman reboot.
I like the idea of, you know, in Pee-wee's Big Adventure when he rides the bikes through all the things, like the gremlins start spreading throughout the Warner Brothers lot, and then they make their way into different sound stages, you know, and much like Pee-wee did with his bike.
Right.
And there's different.
Everything being produced is a reboot.
Reboot.
Everyone.
So, yeah, you have a Batman reboot. What's other Warner Brothers properties?
Then it would get super Joe Dante and like
yeah,
silly,
right?
Wearing Gremlin wearing a Batman suit. I mean, you could fictionalize it like there's like a it's a prime opportunity to make jokes. Like you do like The Bachelor, you bring back the girl Gremlin, you know. she's holding the rose, you know. It's just a bunch of gremlins going crazy. And it's like you set up the first like hour of the movie as this like miserable, real life modern day version of Hollywood with CGI and reference sticks and cynical directors, cynical producers, and then
the real gremlins show up and blow it all up.
Yeah, and then Gizmo is. Billy apologizes profusely. He's like, "I'm so sorry, little guy, but I have to pour this glass of water all over you."
Well, that's how they come out as Mogwais at first,
right.
But then they get into craft services.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. You can have a penny-pinching producer who maybe he realizes at the end the gremlins are cheaper because they're non-union, and he decides to use them as, like, crew members and scenic artists and costume designers.
Do they try and, like, control, maybe, like, as a plan, they try to control the gremlins by, like, giving them their own reality show?
Well, I think the shows is just, like, a one-off bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unless that's the part, like... Unless that's the
distraction before the finale.
Yeah, it has to. I mean, you don't want to get too similar to the second one, but you need at some point Billy Peltzer, aka Zach Galligan, needs to realize that this is now a problem. He was originally pissed about the reboot, but they have to kill all the gremlins.
Does Zach Galligan reveal that Zach Galligan was a stage name? His actual name is Billy Peltzer.
Sure.
I was going to say, you got to do that thing where you lure all the gremlins into one spot to kill them.
Does he have to team up with Corey Feldman to try and take care of the problem? Does Corey Feldman become like the sidekick?
I think Corey Feldman would be a one-off joke.
Just a one-off joke?
Yeah, you don't want him in too much of the movie.
Right. Okay.
Nobody wants that.
He just needs a cameo.
Finn Wolfhard could team up with him, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
His fake son.
Okay.
His fake son who's stuck in the studio.
Right.
And he just wants to like not be on this film.
Well, he's trying to move on in his career. That's his motivation. He wants to get out of playing the child roles.
Yes, yes.
But here he is playing Billy Peltzer's
kid. His last role before he's going to do his indie drama.
Yeah, yeah.
and he wants
the gremlins
to just,
are fucking it up
he's
for
like,
him.
I have to do this gremlins thing. And I have to play the son, and I have to play the kid who's, you know, tagging along with his dad. And he's really annoyed by it. But Zach Galligan kind of turns him around and, you know, gets that fire under him to help stop the gremlins. He's like, these things are real. And if they get out there and multiply, all hell's going to break loose.
So, but yeah, you have to do that thing at the end where you get all the gremlins into one spot. The first movie's the movie theater.
Yeah.
Second movie's the lobby of the building. So they lure them into one of the sound stages by tricking them into thinking that they're doing a Snow White reboot to tie it in with the first movie.
That's great. Yeah.
Because they love Snow White.
Because Peter Dinklage got all the bits fired.
Dinklage.
Now, it's Snow White and the 178 dwarfs.
reboot.
Peter Dinklage, we're going to need you to dress up like a gremlin to try and lure them into the Snow White stream.
and Peter Dinklage
he's got these like ears taped to his head.
Yeah. He's super pissed about being there. He was doing some other film on a different soundstage and they found him. Say it, Peter. Hi-ho. Hi-ho. And he's like, hi-ho. No, no, no. With gusto. Hi ho, hi ho. It's off to work we go. No, Peter. With some energy.
Hi ho, hi ho.
Peter, the fate of the studio is at stake.
Yeah, and then you have like you have like the director of photography, and he's up there, and they Billy Peltzer and Vin Wolfhard and everybody, they all have all these like giant studio lights rigged to turn on.
Mm.
I guess that has to be sunlight, right?
Yeah,
bright.
Well,
lights.
Any light hurts them. So if you have enough studio lights,
let's make it studio lights.
Yeah,
we've done sunlight. They did explosions. They burned the gremlins in the first one. They didn't actually kill them with sunlight.
That's true.
They just exploded them.
Yeah. Well, it's the same in the second movie. They used that electricity from the electric gremlin to fry them.
Right. Yeah. They didn't actually get around to the sunlight part. Yeah. So we're going to go
studio.
Artificial
sunlight, the magic of movies, is what saves the day at the end.
Right. Right. Nicole Kidman would be proud. She could just be standing there watching. She's on a different show. And you have these like beauty shots of her just like watching, like as the gremlins are melting from the hot studio lights. Mm-hmm. So they're recreating a scene from Snow White. Snow White's there with the 178 dwarves, 256 dwarves, however many gremlins there are.
Sure.
And they're like, okay, you know, they're ready to flip the switch, and it doesn't work. And that's when you have Gizmo off, you know, in the some kind of control room or something, fighting with the Stripe.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, saving the day.
Yeah.
To kind of start up the power again, much like opening the light in the first one. Do we have like a sappy ending where the producer guy goes, yeah, you were right, Zach. We'll never make a reboot again. Only original films from now on, because you gotta.
Well, then you end it with Zach Galligan directing Flynn Wolfhard's new indie drama.
Sure.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you have to tie it with the bow, because that's the point of the you're breaking the fourth wall. You're commenting on reboots. The idea, you know, it's like Gremlins 2 almost. You know, it's the next level of that.
Yeah.
Because it's meta, and you're also commenting on reboots, and it is a reboot. It kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also making fun of itself at the same time.
Right.
So you have to bring it around and making the studio exec like a basic one-dimensional bad guy who has a change of heart at the end.
And mm-hmm.
We'll never make a reboot again in this town. Like, they've all learned their lesson from the Gremlins experience. Solid.
And you cut to 6 months later, and all the studios have closed down.
You cut to like an article from Variety. The new Zach Galligan directed film starring Flynn Wolfhard fails at the box office. Giant bomb.
We don't want a cynical ending.
Spaceballs 2 breaking all records.
There is a Spaceballs 2 coming up.
I know.
No, we can't have a cynical ending. We didn't have a cynical ending at the end of 2.
That's true.
As cynical as that movie was, you know, it was a happy ending.
Yeah.
Marla hooked up with Clamp. Everyone was happy in the end. So that's what we want. We want a happy ending, because Gremlins movies have happy endings.
Sure.
Save your cynicism for the middle. What's a funny way Stripe could die, though?
Do we need a funny way for him to die?
Yeah, he's got to die. Could Stripe just be living on Skid Row at the end?
He doesn't actually die. He's just...
Your career is over.
What if he...
You're
oh, no.
washed up in this town.
He's hanging out in front of the Chinese theater in, like, a gremlin costume. Like a crappy store-bought, like those, like, crappy Elmo costumes. But it's a gremlin costume. And that's how he survives the sun, is by being in the costume. And he's just, like, begging for money.
That's great. I like that. Yeah, in front of the Chinese theater.
Mm.
A gremlin.
That's your sequel tease too. Like, oh, he's still alive. Maybe he'll get his revenge.
Yeah, I mean, like technically the drag gremlin was still alive at the end of Gremlins 2.
That's true. Yeah,
so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
I'm thinking like So you have the tourist family like taking photos with the. It'll be like a little gremlin,
yeah,
in a little costume.
Yeah,
they're like, "Look, mommy, it's a gremlin." Costume. Okay, can we get the photo? Okay, and they give him $20, and then he wanders off and goes under like a tree for some shade and takes the hat off, and it's Stripe, and he just lights up a cigarette and just goes,
"It's 11." <11."
laughs> He starts up a podcast talking about his time in the industry.
Man, you want to hit all the stuff.
Why not? That's what gets the point. You hit all the stuff.
The Gremlins podcast. And it just shows a picture of their little cocoon. It's oozing slime.
Yeah.
Podcast. It's great.